The following program is sponsored by Online Trading Academy of Kansas City.
Today's show is provided for entertainment and general information purposes. Opinions expressed are those of the presenter only. We make no promises or guarantees of investment performance. Online Trading Academy is not a broker-dealer, certified financial planner, or registered investment advisor. Online Trading Academy is the world's most trusted name in professional trader and investor education. Enjoy the show. Hello, future traders and investors. Welcome to Power Trading Radio. My name is Christopher Crum. I'm in studio today with my good friend and co-host, Mr. Matthew McGrath.
Hey, Chris. How are you doing? Happy holidays.
Happy holidays. You know what? Welcome, Matt. 2 weeks in a row, I got away with that joke. You know what? Happy New Year, everybody. 2018 is on our doorstep, and it just... I don't know. I'm astounded at how fast time goes by.
Oh, yeah,
just,
especially as we get older.
It's shocking to me that it's 2018. I didn't know I'd live this long. So, you know what? I'm happy to be here today.
It seems like just last week it was 2017.
Right. So, you know what, folks? Welcome to the show. This is a show that's about trading and investing the financial markets. It's fueled by my company, Online Trading Academy. And if you're brand new to the show... first-time listener, you probably have never heard of Online Trading Academy. We're the best-kept secret in 45 communities across the world. But who we are and what we do is we're brick-and-mortar learning centers that teach people how to trade and how to invest in the financial markets.
Exactly.
And these are two different activities, similar but different activities. Trading is actually frequent buying and selling in the financial market. So you're doing it daily, weekly, and monthly. And, of course, what we're trying to do is we're trying to establish a source of income, whether it's passive income that you're letting it build or whether you're using it to supplement or replace your income, either one. Yeah. So we have folks, of course, at the Academy that love their jobs. They love what they do for a living. They found their calling in life, their God's purpose, and they want to keep doing that. But let's face it, sometimes the dream job doesn't pay, you know, exactly what we would like to make. And so why not create some type of a passive stream of income to supplement that?
No, there's nothing wrong with that.
If you live in America, you live in the greatest country in the world. It's not a country where you're entitled to everything you want. You got to work for it. But why not create separate streams of income that you can control rather than just relying on that paycheck to pay your bills, what your boss is willing to pay you?
Right.
You know, you're trading your time for your most valuable asset for a paycheck. Why not create some passive streams of income and the stuff that you can control?
Always good to have multiple streams of income.
And so, you know what? We've had just a wide variety of folks that have come to us over the 20 years we've been doing this. And, you know, folks come to us because I remember one guy that I was talking to. We feed everybody at the Academy, and I was having lunch with my students, and sitting there across the table from this guy, and I asked him what his why was. We talk about the why all the time. Why'd you come here? And he said, you know what, I'm a minister, and I love my job, and I'm going to do it for as long as God willing I can do it. But I was listening to your radio show one day, and you were kind of talking about you and Allison, your wife, and how you just came off of some fancy vacation you went to, and I got to thinking it's been 8 years since my wife and I got to go on vacation because we can't afford to go. And that was my why initially. That's why I showed up on your doorstep. So I thought, well, if I can spend half an hour, 45 minutes a day placing four trades and do what you talk about on your radio show, well, then why wouldn't I do it?
Sure.
And in fact, we go on some very nice vacations every year now, thanks to you. But I've also been able to do some charitable things with the money that I make trading, too. So it's pretty cool. So some people come to us because they want to just supplement their income. And then there are others that just hate their jobs. And... you know, it's funny because that's part of what we're going to talk about today. Do you know what the number one New Year's resolution is this year? At least, and I can't remember where I read. I just read it last week. I was looking it up for the show.
Yeah, I know we discussed this last week. I would think that it'd be spending more time with your family or something like that.
Well, that's the deathbed thing we talked about.
That's the people that well, regret. Still a good New Year's resolution would be to spend more time with
the number one thing that people regret is they didn't take a risk on themselves when they're laying on their deathbed. No, the number one New Year's resolution this year by far, and I would think that
lose weight,
health. I would think that's what it is,
right?
Because everybody joins a health club. That's their
sure,
or they quit smoking. No, the number one is to either enhance their income, increase their income, or leave their job and do something that they like to do.
Yeah, I'd actually believe that.
The average person, the majority of people in this country, in the United States, hate their job. They either don't like who they're working for because they've got that boss that treats them terribly, or they're sick and tired of having other adults tell them what to do and they want to do their own thing, or they simply are not, you know, pursuing that passion that they have in life.
Yeah, I see a lot where something's changed at their job. You know, so they did enjoy it, but now, you know, they've either been taken over by someone else and they're changing the processes.
Right.
I hear that quite a bit, where we're used to a system.
Right.
And now we have to learn an entire new system. You know, that drove me from a job years ago.
Yeah.
They totally changed the database program.
Right.
And I was in a position where I didn't have to do that kind of work anyway. There was someone that did that for me. They not only took that person away, but then they changed the system. And, you know, I hate technology, Chris. And I remember one day, the day that I decided to leave there, I spent an hour laughing as the trainer was teaching me that new system, because I knew there was no way in the world I was going to spend a minute learning that. And right. I decided to leave. I mean, that's really why I left.
So we have scores of people over the 20 years that we've been doing it that have retired from their current position to trade full-time for a living. And when I say trade full-time, it's really a part-time gig because it only takes about 45 minutes to set up four trades. The other reason why people come to us is because they're behind the curve on their retirement. They've realized, 50-year-old people that have $30,000 saved for retirement, they realize that there's a finish line to this thing and there's not that much time left to make it happen, and they don't want to stand in an unemployment line. They want to become financially independent.
They want to play catch-up.
Yeah, for retirement. They'd like to have enough money in an account so that they don't have to stand in an unemployment line. And so, you know, we teach people how to get exceptional returns in the markets, but also how to manage their risk in a very efficient manner so that you don't ever have to lose another dime in the financial markets if you don't want to. So that's what we do. We teach people how to trade the financial markets, and also how to build wealth over time.
And protect those.
And if you could see yourself enjoying the freedom of trading for a living, that is the freedom of schedule, also the unlimited earning potential that comes along with it. If you could see yourself managing your long-term investments while you manage risk in the markets and you strive to create wealth or financial independence, you know what? Check us out on the World Wide Web at TradingAcademy.com. That's T-R-A-D as in Dan, TradingAcademy.com, all one word. Very comprehensive website. Some great financial calculators out there. There's just a lot of cool things on that website. TradingAcademy.com. That's what you need to do. Just jump on the World Wide Web. You know what, folks? I think we've got a great show for you today. At least we've put a lot of thought and effort into planning the show.
Yeah.
So I want to invite you to stick around. I'm also giving away some pretty cool things on the break. Well, if you're a little confused about what you're doing right now, well, you're listening to Power Trading Radio with Christopher Crum and
Matt McGrath,
perhaps the greatest co-host in the history of radio broadcasting. Mr. Matt McGrath has made an appearance in studio with me today. Everybody should give him a big round of applause. Thank you, Matt, for showing up here and being with me today.
Thank you.
You know, the show wouldn't be the same without you. And I remember, of course, back in the early days when I used to do this show by myself. And it's not easy sitting in a room, in a silent room, with just you and a microphone and just talking for an hour.
Yeah, that'd be kind of creepy.
Okay. So I don't know how to process that, but it was. I guess it was creepy. But apparently my listeners didn't think so. But either way, but I'm, you know, when you join the show, you bring a new depth and dimension to this whole thing, and I'm glad for it. I'm happy for you.
Oh, it's a blast. I look forward to it every week.
So I got to tell you something. You know, we did the show about cryptocurrency here 2 weeks ago. Was it 2 weeks ago or 3 weeks ago?
I think it was three weeks ago.
Man, my email and phone just blew up because people are just freaking out over the whole concept of cryptocurrency and the fact that Bitcoin at the beginning of the year was trading for what, Matt Roberts, our producer, how much was it? Around 900 and some, $970 or something in January of 2017.
And yeah, that's right, and it's over 20,000 now.
No, it's not over 20.
On January 1st was 979.
And when did it close the year out?
And now it's 16,500 around Bitcoin is. Something like that.
$16,711.
That's a hell of a return.
It is.
Right? Over the course of a year. And, you know, you got to wonder, well, what is cryptocurrency? What does it do? And we got a special guest in studio. In fact, he's helping to produce the show today. He's my best dude. His name's Joel Crum, my 10-year-old, who is taking leave from Cedar Creek Elementary over Christmas vacation. And Joel, can you go ahead and read a definition for us of what cryptocurrency is?
a digital currency, which is encrypted techniques used to regulate a generation of units of currency and verify transfers of funds operating the independency of central banks.
I think we've got a future star here, Matt.
We do.
Very good job, sir. So basically, it's digital currency, and it doesn't exist. I mean, this is something that people are paying for, Matt, that is not tangible in any way, shape, or form.
Yeah.
It doesn't do anything to enhance anybody's life. You know, unlike what we do at Online Trading Academy, if you paid a tuition there, we would teach you how to trade the financial markets.
Right.
So we're teaching you a skill set, and while it's intangible, it changes your life.
Right.
But cryptocurrency does nothing for anybody.
In many countries, it does. I mean, it's an alternative currency. Like we had a trainer in at our center last week who's from Singapore, and he said in Japan that almost every establishment accepts Bitcoin now. I mean, as payment.
Which is incredible to me, because how would you pay for something if one Bitcoin is worth 16,700 and change, as Matt Roberts just said, and I go in for a haircut? How do I trade a Bitcoin for a haircut? You know, I don't get how that works, but, you know, I'm from Kansas, so I mean, what are you going to do?
Right.
But, you know, here's the thing, guys, is that everybody wants to know, should I go ahead and invest in this thing? And you know what? We're not on this show to advise you about what you do with your money. We're here to teach you how to manage your money. I can tell you that, think about this, cryptocurrency, and there's 1,600 of them now.
Yeah.
It's not just Bitcoin. There's 1,600 of them.
Mm-hmm.
You can literally, if you understood technology, you could go ahead and establish your own version of Bitcoin within an hour. You could set it up. And other people have done it.
Right.
Because, and you know why they're doing it, of course. It's because they're making something out of nothing. And actually what they're doing is they're making nothing out of nothing, and they're trying to get you to give them money for nothing that they made out of nothing.
Right.
It's technology. That's all it is.
Sure.
But somehow somebody convinced a bunch of people that each one of these fictitious coins is worth $16,700.
Right, and that's all that matters, right? If you're actually trading it, if you're investing in it. And, you know, I take a different view on it. I mean, I kick myself, actually, for not getting more involved in it when it was at the ground floor. So,
well, everybody does.
Right. But there are other cryptocurrencies that major companies have invested in now, like Ethereum.
Everybody's invested in it.
Yeah. Microsoft's poured $500 million into that. And those are at the ground floor. So I recently bought a little data mining company that mines Ethereum. You know, it's not a big investment. You know, you go into that with the understanding that you'll probably lose it all. But, you know, that's already generating $500 a month, and I only invested $6,000 in it.
Really?
I think that's okay, as long as you understand that it's speculation, right? So you don't miss out on the next big thing. What I'm worried about is in the workshops every week, I see people that are pouring their entire portfolio into Bitcoin.
No.
And that is the definition of speculation. Again, we do not want to do that. But it's okay,
it's, of course,
to take some
gambling
risk. Yeah. Definitely. Very speculative.
Part of the issue with these the cryptocurrencies, it has to do with the technology that they use to build that particular asset. And by the way, this is a brand new asset class. Cryptocurrency is an asset. So there are four major assets that five that we trade. So there's stocks and bonds.
Right.
There's two. Options, futures, and then, of course,
Forex currencies.
The Forex market. We're trading currency pairs.
Yeah. Bitcoin, by the way, has been traded on the Forex market for years. But what's amazing about it now is for the first time, a legitimate exchange is trading it, the Chicago Mercantile Exchange,
right,
where futures are traded. And that's where it's a game changer. Again, when they're recognizing that that is somewhat legitimate, it lends a lot more credence to the fact that it's, you know, it's not a bad investment. But boy, trading it is extremely volatile. You know, the first person I knew who traded it actively, he made $4,000 the first day he traded it, but then the next day he lost $6,000. And trading for income is all about risk management, and so I'm not advising anyone to go out and trade that actively each day yet. It's too volatile.
Well, they're getting the price for Bitcoin, by the way, off four different exchanges.
Right.
One of the exchanges, and I cannot for the life of me, maybe Matt Roberts could look it up for us, but the two brothers, the twins that went to Harvard and they came up with the idea of Facebook, and then Mark Zuckerberg, they hired him to do the code for that.
Right.
And then Mark just
stole
like,
it.
No, yeah. Yeah. Hell with you guys. I got a pretty good idea here. Right. I'm running with myself. But they sued him.
Yeah.
And they ended up with a big paycheck from Mark Zuckerberg. And then they took their money and then they put it into this weird exchange where they're doing these bizarre trades, and they jumped into cryptocurrencies and Bitcoin kind of from the beginning. But you know what? The price on these four exchanges, they don't match up. And in fact, their exchange is actually the Winklevoss twins is who they are. And they're gonna make a ton off of Bitcoin because they got into it early and they've got it on their exchange. But their price on it is about $400 or $500 lower than the other exchanges that are trading it.
Right.
The actual currency of Bitcoin. And you know, the futures contract is traded on the CME, the Chicago Mercantile Exchange, but Bitcoin itself is on unregulated exchanges.
Right.
So that means that it's not subject to the trading laws. And so it's the Wild West, man. I mean, guns are blazing out there when it comes to this currency. So, you know, should you get into Bitcoin? Well, you know, the fundamental analysis on something like this is something that we don't know about.
Right.
If you're looking at a company, you're going to look at their earnings, their price per share per earnings. You're going to look at whether or not they're profitable, if they're green and growing, those types of things. But with Bitcoin, there's nothing like that to measure.
No, so, I mean, it's total speculation, but again, it's hype. I mean, to me, it reminds me of that tulip mania, you know, back in the day when tulips were $2,000 a piece or whatever back in Holland. And again, it's just euphoria over something new, but there is always a chance that that does take off and it's real. And that's why I said it's okay to invest a small portion of your portfolio in something like that. You're betting on the
maybe 1% of your portfolio.
Yeah, exactly. But again, don't go crazy and invest, you know, your life savings into Bitcoin.
It's one of the highest risk things that you could probably get into.
Absolutely.
You know, the thing is with it is that if you're going to do a fundamental analysis, then you need to understand technology because this is technology that you're buying. And you've got to understand the technology that they built this Bitcoin on because the new cryptocurrencies are on actually newer and better technology.
Right.
And whether or not if it does blow up, can they handle the volume? And Bitcoin quite potentially could fail just because of the technology that they built around the Bitcoin. So, you know,
well, many of the exchanges, by the way, that it's traded on have failed. But before this, and the reason this is such a big deal, it was mostly traded on Chinese exchanges, and those themselves have gone under, have gone belly up. The biggest one went belly up in 2014.
Well, I've got a stupid question for you, Matt, because you mentioned earlier that you wished that you would have gotten in on this earlier in the year. Why wouldn't you go buy it now? At $16,700.
Well,
a coin.
Again, in a way, it seems to me like I might have missed the boat on it. I mean, the growth has been so much. But again, I don't think that there's still not potential upside to it. But there are other ones, as you mentioned, that are more stable, that are still at that ground for opportunity, like Ethereum. And that's why I chose to go with that one as opposed to Bitcoin.
Right. It makes total sense to me. You know, if you're going to go out and go into the markets and buy an asset like Bitcoin, you don't want to do it after the move has happened. I mean,
sure.
I don't even know what percent that would be. It's going from $700 up to $16,000. And the most of the growth of that has happened from September until now.
Yeah.
So September, October, November has just gone straight up.
Yeah.
And we see things like that happen occasionally in the financial markets where you see something that just it becomes popular and people decide to get in on the move. And everybody's doing something greedy. What we ought to be doing maybe is think about shorting Bitcoin right now.
Yeah.
Because Matt
that's
Robertson,
trend trading. So someone who gets in on it right now is buying after it's been in an uptrend, right?
Right.
So we're paying retail, right? But again, it's such a new technology. Bitcoin, like I said, breaks all the rules. I mean, I don't know. I mean, it still could be considered trading low, right? But certainly in other asset classes, we don't want to buy after that move's already happened.
Well, it's been around for years, but I kind of consider what's happened this last year. This is the type of thing that you see on an IPO. Like when Facebook or the Facebook IPO blew out, it just blew the charts out over the course of a couple of days, right?
Right. Well, the first day it actually lost money. It went from 28 and closed at 18 because of an institutional trap that the bank set. But you're right. I think Alibaba is a better example. IPOs were, again, we're in a state of euphoria. It's the first day it's publicly traded.
Right.
So
we're just starting
everyone
today.
Gets in on it and so on.
Yeah. So I don't know. I you know, cryptocurrency is popular. It's an exciting topic. It's a brand new asset. We don't know how it's going to act. It literally is founded on something other than the notion or an idea.
Right.
There's no institution other than the person that put it together. There's a finite number of Bitcoins that have been generated digitally. And so that's what kind of makes them valuable. Everybody is willing to compete to grab some of these coins while they can and have ownership of that.
Yeah, and by the way, maybe in the next segment we can talk about why this isn't even necessary. Why even speculate on that when we can get huge returns just trading legitimate products?
That's a good idea. Products that are traded on legitimate exchanges that are regulated, right? Hey, you know what? We're going to have to pause for station identification here real quick. We'll be right back, though. So invite you to stick around through the break. This is Power Trading Radio. Welcome back to Power Trading Radio. So we were talking about cryptocurrencies in the last segment. And, you know, so you did the math on this. Matt is our mathematician, a resident mathematician. So what was it?
So since January 1st of last year, it's grown 1,700%.
1,700.
Over the course of 2017. And the point we were discussing over the break is when, you know, when there are legitimate regulated products where if you are educated, right, you can consistently perform that well,
right?
Why even risk investing in something as speculative as Bitcoin, right?
Well, let's take one of our graduates, for example, that has learned how to trade a leveraged asset. It's naturally leveraged. It's on a regulated exchange. In fact, it's open 23 hours a day, 6 days a week. It's called the futures market.
Right, and that's what I trade.
And that's what you trade. And so, you know, what we do is we teach our students how to identify four assets in that market that are low risk by nature. The price is low risk by nature. It's high probability, meaning the price is likely to go the direction that you want it to go. And then it's high reward. So when you win on them, you're going to make a lot of money. We target trades that are a 3-to-1 reward to risk ratio. So that means that if we do lose on a trade, we'll lose a little bit of money.
Yeah.
But when we're right on a trade, we'll triple that money that we've had at risk.
Yeah. Typically, we only risk 1%. So if you're trading from a $10,000 account, the most that you can lose is $100, right? And that's reasonable risk. But like you said, on our winners, we're making much more than that. We target 3-to-1 typically. So on each of our winning trades, we've made $300 in that example.
Right.
Now, if you do that every day, it actually compounds to the same rate we're talking about with Bitcoin, but we're not having to take that speculation, right?
Right. That's kind of what I was leading up to. I was going to go through the math with these folks, but so on a $10,000 account, what you're going to be targeting is about $400 a day in profit.
And exactly.
That's if you're right on only half of your trades.
Right.
You know, if you put your money into Bitcoin, either you're right or you're wrong. Right?
So, well, it's so volatile that you're obviously risking much more than 1% of your account as well. I mentioned the example of the first person I know who traded that, had a huge winner the first day where he made $4,000, then the next day lost $6,000. And again, unless you're working from, you know, $500,000 account, $6,000 is too much to risk on any trade, right?
Exactly.
so avoid that.
So, kind of the way the math works out on a $10,000 account, you know, if you're risking only 1% of your account, that's $100 per trade that you're risking. So if you're wrong on two trades and they go against you, you're going to get stopped out. We call it a stop loss. It's a sell order for a loss, and you'll sell it for $100 loss per trade. So now you've lost $200 on two of your four trades. You're right on two trades, though. You're going to gain $300 each trade because it's a 3-to-1 reward to risk ratio. So you've gained $600, you've lost $200 with a net of $400. And that's if you're right on only two, if you're only right half the time.
Right.
If you're wrong on three of four trades, you break even.
Yeah, that's what I love about that strategy is we can have a horrible day trading. We can be terrible traders, and we still don't lose any money, right? In fact, the only day that you can lose money when you're doing four trades in a 3-to-1 reward risk ratio is the day that you're wrong on all four, right?
Yes, exactly.
Now,
it doesn't happen very often.
You know, someone who's skeptical would say, well, I imagine that happens all the time, right? And, you know, if you were just randomly buying at a price and putting a target at three times what you're risking, yes, that would happen quite frequently. But the reason it doesn't with our strategy is because we're not buying at a random price. We're tagging along with the banks.
Right. Okay?
And when you're tagging along with the banks who are really the only ones who make money trading, it's not as difficult to be right on half of your trades. Some are even much better than that. You know, our top trader is 68% accurate. And again, you don't have to, we were talking about Bitcoin, we don't need to speculate on those type of investments when we can get that kind of rate of return if we're just trading a regulated asset.
Well, I think that things like Bitcoin, I'm a conservative guy, I'm from Kansas, a small town in Kansas, and I just think of those types of things as kind of a pipe dream. Yeah, you know what, it worked out for some people, and yes, a lot of the banks and institutions invested in Bitcoin this last year. That's part of the reason why what drove the price up.
Right.
Because they started shoveling money into it to drive the price up. And that's how these banks and institutions trap people like you and me. They'll drive the price up, and then we think, oh, my gosh, I wish I would have gotten in on that. Oh, my gosh, it's going to continue to go up. Who knows? There's the sky's the limit for this digital currency that doesn't even exist. And then we want to throw our money into it. But guess who's selling it to us? It's the banks and institutions that right. bought it and drove the price up.
Yeah.
And that's the game that they play all the time. That's why it's imperative, if you can. And of course, we're the only ones that teach this, but we can teach you how to identify where it's likely that the banks and institutions are buying and selling and where they're putting their money and when they're doing it. So that way you can get on the move before it happens, just right there along with them.
Yeah, that's half the battle right there. And then the rest is easy. The easy part is risk management, right?
Right.
So that means, as you mentioned before, we put a stop on that trade mm-hmm. at no more than we teach maximum 2%. But I've done this 9 years and still only do 1%. So you're controlling your risk.
Yes, exactly. That's the big thing, by the way, is that you want to control your risk and you need to kind of decide how much risk you're willing to take in any of these assets. We've got a pretty strong strategy as far as what we do, and it's based on rules. We have specific rules that we follow. If you can identify four assets in the market, I don't care if it's a futures, if these are futures contracts, if they're currency pairs in the Forex market, maybe they're options contracts or even stocks. If you can identify four assets that by nature, their price is low risk, high probability, and high reward, that's just part of the battle. The rest of it is, now what do I do with it? And you've got to identify or decide, well, if you're taking a long position, by the way, which is buying low and selling high, that's how we make money, yeah. buying and selling stuff. But there are two positions you can take, the long position and the short position. If you're taking a long position, we want price to go up, don't we?
Sure.
So we want to buy it at wholesale and sell it at retail. We want to sell it out on the exchange, probably to a retail investor who's funded his E-Trade account because he likes that new commercial with the guy on the boat that we talk about. And, you know, that's just trying some things and that doesn't know any better. So he's going to go ahead and buy Bitcoin after it's gone up 1,700%
yeah.
since the first
well,
of
and
the
they're
year.
Doing it as a hobby and they're doing it with disposable income. So they really don't care if they win or not, right?
Right.
It's more something they're just doing to entertain themselves.
But you got to decide what price you're going to buy your product for and then what you're going to sell it for a profit. And then if you're going to accept a loss, how much is that loss? What's that look like? What would you sell it for? And it's called, that's the stop loss. So we actually have a sell order. When I enter my trades every day, I am deciding up front all of these things. What am I buying it for? What am I selling it for? If I make a profit, what's that look like? If I'm going to accept a loss, what's that look like? And I have it all set up in my software, and I set it and forget it, and the software does.
Yeah, and that, to me, that's one of the biggest things that differentiates a novice trader from a professional trader is a professional trader can tell you before they ever press that buy button exactly how much money they're going to make on that trade if they're right, and exactly how much money they're going to lose on that trade if they're wrong to the penny, right?
Yeah.
And they always make sure that the trades they're profitable on, they make much more money on those trades than they lose on their unprofitable trades. These guys, even at the banks, lose money on individual trades every day. It's just they make much more money on their winners than they lose on their losers.
So that's
at the end
ticket.
Of it, right, at
that's
the end
the
of most days, they've netted a nice sum of money.
Right, that's the key. Because, you know, I think I always ask when I'm you know doing our workshops that we give away here during the commercial, when I'm doing these workshops, I ask the audience, how many of you guys think that you're going to be right on every trade? You're going to win on every trade, or it's possible to do that? And you know what's really interesting to me, Matt, is that nobody raises their hand.
Right.
And yet, I bet you we've had experienced traders. I would bet you $1,000 that we've had experienced traders over the years that have had that mindset. They're not going to lose on a trade.
I can think of two that come to mind immediately.
So they're in a losing trade and they hang in there because they just know that price is eventually going to rebound. And then rather than freeing up their cash flow so that they can put themselves in a winning trade today, they hang in with the loser only to find themselves losing more and more money. And they don't understand, well, why is the price continue to go down? You know, instead of having the emergency brakes in the car, the stop loss, they'll just hang in there with blue sky and rainbows and hoping that things are going to turn around.
Well, that's what we've been taught to do since we were kids in this country. If an investment goes down, hold on to it because it has to go back up eventually, right? In other words, it's just a paper loss right now.
Yep.
It's not really a loss until I sell it. And there's all kinds of flaws with that strategy.
Not really a loss until I sell it.
I'll tell
you
this. When I invested in Global Crossings and lost $23,000 when they filed bankruptcy, it did not have to go up.
It didn't go up. It couldn't go up because nobody wanted the stock. So, you know, You don't want to invest in blue sky and rainbows, and you need to have a stop loss. You need to decide what it is that you're going to sell it for a profit, what you're going to sell it for a loss. That's what our experienced traders struggle with. They don't have any problems buying it. They just have a problem selling it.
Right.
Right? No matter what. Folks, we'll be right back. Welcome back to Power Trading Radio. Hey, you know what? I think I could speak for my co-host, as I do every week, in thanking you all for listening to the show today. If you've been a loyal listener, you've been listening to us for a while, we really appreciate you. We love doing the show. Neither Matt or I have broadcast experience. I think Matt's better at it than I am for some reason. But you know what? We love doing the show. It's a highlight of our week. We like being on the radio.
Yes, I look forward to it every week.
Yeah. So thank you for listening. And if you're brand new to the show, well, welcome aboard. Hey, maybe you'll go ahead and set up your smartwatch or your smartphone or your smart spouse to remind you that we're on the radio every weekend and tune in and become a loyal.
I finally got an Echo for Christmas, so I'm going to tell my Echo to remind me.
I know this. And have you set your Echo up yet?
I haven't, but I'm paying my nephew, who is tech savvy, to come over this weekend, and he's going to set three of them up for me.
Do you have an Amazon account?
I'm sure that I do.
Yeah, that's required.
Oh, well.
That's part of it.
That's why I'm having him do it, by the way. He'll figure all those things out.
Okay. Yeah. Well, you know, it's not rocket science to set one of these things up. You basically plug them in, you download the Echo app, and then you kind of tell it what to do.
That would be hard for me.
Okay. I'm not going to. I don't doubt it. Considering that you had issues from driving a mouse upside down one time while doing it.
That's why I always laugh in my trade plan meetings. I meet with students that are so discouraged by the technology, and they're obsessed with that. I'm not going to get this. I'm here to tell you folks, if I can do this, anyone can. Like I said, just a month ago, I had the mouse upside down in a workshop that we were teaching.
Right.
Again, it's not about that. That's not what makes you money in the markets. What makes you money is knowing where to find where the banks are buying and selling and tagging along with those trades. Anyone can learn how to use the software.
Yeah, you know what? It's point-and-click technology. And there are really just five things that you need to be able to do in your brokerage account to, with that software to be good at it. Most of these direct access brokerages that you can work with and the software that they have, they're pretty feature-rich. There's a lot of icons and whistles and bells in there, but again, only five things you need to be good at. So it can kind of appear to be intimidating in the beginning, but once you learn how to do those five things, then it's,
sure,
easy breezy, right? So, trading, by the way, is the act of frequent buying and selling in the financial markets, and we're doing it to create some income. Whether it's to replace or supplement your income, that's up to you, but that's what it is. Or you can just leave it in your account and just build money pretty darn fast. We've been talking about Bitcoin and 1,700% return. Well, we can do triple-digit returns, at least triple digits, by trading the financial markets if we leave the money in our account.
If you leave it in there, again, that's really what's happening. I mean, if you're starting with, say, a $5,000 account and you're making only $200 a day, if you leave those profits in your account, now you're working from a $10,000 account in about 6 weeks. And if you leave those profits in your account, now you're working from a $20,000 account. And that's why I love seeing people that already have some income. Because they're not relying on this, and they're allowed, they're now able to grow these huge wealth accounts.
Sure.
Whereas someone, who maybe is on severance or who's doing this to replace their income right away, they're having to draw from that account right out of the gate.
Right.
To pay their bills.
So, if you're listening to the show, by the way, not everybody should trade the financial markets. Not everybody's kind of built for that. And there are some red flags that we look for that for people, behavioral issues, of course. I think one thing is that you got to be able to set aside some time each day. You need to find 45 minutes a day to be able to set up your 4-day
trades. Or during the evening, by the way.
Or during the evening, yeah. I mean, and some people are so busy they can't do that, Matt. The Forex market and the futures market's open. Well, Forex is open 24 hours a day, 6 days a week. The futures market is about 23 right?
hours.
Sunday through Friday, and so if you can't find time in the middle of the night to trade, then you probably shouldn't do it.
Right, or the next morning.
Or the next morning.
I will say, though, that's probably, of the five red flags I go through with the students, that's probably the rarest one. Again, most people can carve out 45 minutes out of their schedule during the daytime or during the evening, but the question is really whether they're willing to do that. They may want to come home and watch Dancing with the Stars. They don't want want to spend the time trading when they're unwinding from work and stuff like that. And I think that's more of an issue.
Probably.
You know, we're tired when we get home from work. We're not sure we really want to sit down in front of a computer and start trading. So you do have to make it a priority.
Now, just to qualify this, would you trade your trading time for an episode of Dancing with the Stars?
No, I despise that show. But actually, I've grown to like it a little bit because my spouse loves it so much. So
gotcha. You know, so... So a little bit of time because we're just setting up these four trades and we're setting it up in a software that's going to trade for us. So it is point and click technology. You're identifying four high quality trades and then you're setting those trades up in your technology and let it do the heavy lifting for you. You know, if you don't have some money to get started, then you probably shouldn't think about doing it. I mean, this is the business of buying and selling. And if you're going to, you got to buy your inventory before you can sell it.
Right. You have to have some money to make money. You don't need as much money as you do in most businesses to start a business.
No.
But you do need a couple of $1,000.
If you were to buy a turnkey business, meaning that it's up and running and profitable, you know, it depends on what their profits are. There's something called EBITDA, and it's typically three or four times that amount, but it has to do, you can think of it as like net earnings for the owner. And that's kind of how we gauge how much businesses are worth. But, you know, how much money would it cost to buy a liquor store, for example? You know, one of these super stores, liquor stores. And if it's making $200,000 a year, you're going to spend $600,000 for that business to sell liquor
right
at a 30% markup when you can earn three times the money they have at risk in the financial markets. So it's a much more efficient way to go into business if that's what you wanted to do. You know, you can start with as little as $2,000 probably in the financial market if you wanted to invest in a leveraged asset like Forex.
Yeah, only $5,000 for futures. Again, I actually cannot think of any business that has less overhead than trading. And that's really what you're doing. I mean, when you're trading, you're starting a business, right?
Right. But you don't have the employees to worry about.
No.
You know, if you own a donut shop and the person who's supposed to make the donuts at 2:00 in the morning doesn't show up, guess who's getting out of bed to go make the donuts?
Right.
You know, the only reason why you're getting out of bed in the middle of the night as a trader is because you need to use the bathroom. I mean,
right.
Or get a glass of water. So that's the difference between these types of businesses. The only overhead that you have are your brokerage fees.
Yeah.
For the and losses, of course.
I knew. I used to have a friend who owned a Baskin-Robbins franchise, and that was his dream to own that, and it ended up just being a nightmare. I've never seen anyone work more hours. The business was running him, and then at the end of the day, you know, he usually was not profitable, right? And when I think about trading, again, how little time it takes and how little capital is involved, it's just amazing.
It's a learned skill. Anybody can learn how to do it if you have somebody teach you how to do it. It's a difficult skill to learn by reading a book. And last time I looked on Amazon, I think there were 63,024 books that you could buy, but none of them are really truly going to teach you how to trade.
Yeah.
You need some experience in the markets. At the Academy, we have professional traders and investors teaching you how to do it, and then you're also trading live in class using the school's money to then, you know, to hone and sharpen that skill set while that professional trader works with you. I think what scares a lot of people about the financial markets is that they've all experienced losses before.
Right.
And we all did in 2008. You know, if you've got a 401k, you lost money in 2008, likely 39% of your life savings. I think the general mentality is that the way you make money in the markets is to buy low and sell high, and we're buy and hold investors. So we're buying stocks, we're hanging on to that, and with the hopes that the stocks increase in value.
And we can only make money if it increases in value.
That's the point that I'm getting at.
Right.
When in fact, you can make more money in the financial markets, and you make it faster if the markets are declining. And a lot of people don't understand this. It's called the short sell. And the short sell is, I don't want to make it overly complicated, but we have a relationship with a brokerage, and these brokerages hold stocks for other people. I'm going to use stocks as an example, but you can do it with options or futures or currencies pairs if you want to. But they're holding this. They have a warehouse of this stuff, this product. They're holding yours if you're right. invested with them. And they're willing to go ahead and loan you these assets just for the brokerage fee. So they'll just, you know, XYZ stock you think is at a very high price today, and you wish that you had some in your portfolio so you could sell it. Well, the brokerage is willing to lend you those stocks so that you can go ahead and sell it today. You sell it, you're selling their stocks or another, one of their customers' stocks. You sell it on the market, on the exchange, the money goes into your account. And now the only condition to this is that you're going to pay them brokerage fees, but you're also going to return those stocks at some point.
Now, that's the same commission, by the way, you would pay if you were buying.
Yeah. And so you wait for the price to fall. And in fact, you are right, man. You know, the price was at an all-time high, but the price dropped because people were selling it off. You do something called buy to cover.
Right.
So you're going to buy that same number of shares back, and then those shares automatically go back to the brokerage, and they put it back in their inventory.
Right.
But it's not as complicated as it sounds.
No, by the way, that whole process, a single button, explained, takes 1 second. So yeah. When you press the sell short button, that's what's going on in the background. The easiest way to think of shorting, at least in my opinion, is you're betting the price goes down. You know, when we buy something, aren't we betting the price goes up?
Sure.
And if it goes down, we lose money. When we're shorting, we're betting the price goes down, and now we lose money if the price goes up. And that's why we have to use proper risk management on both a buy and a sell, right?
Yes. And you make more money on these short sells than you do typically on a long position because price falls much faster than it does.
Exactly, because fear is a more powerful motivator than greed.
Exactly. Well, folks, we're just about completely out of time. On behalf of my two producers today, Mr. Matt Roberts and my son, my best dude, Mr. Joel Crum, and my good friend Matt McGrath and co-host. Hey, you know what? Tune in to us next week, and don't forget to check us out on the World Wide Web at TradingAcademy.com. But for now, we have to say so long.
Everybody have a happy new year.
Have a happy new year. Thanks for listening.
The preceding program was sponsored by Online Trading Academy of Kansas City.